Welcome to the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, where you'll get actionable tips and advice on major gifts, direct response fundraising, legacy giving, and much more from leading experts in the nonprofit sector. Now, here are your hosts of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, Andrew Olson and Roy Jones.
Hey, everyone. This is Andrew Olson, host of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast. I'm here with my guest co-host for the week, Sean Saunders from Dickerson Baker & Associates.
Yeah, it's good to be back again, Andrew.
Hey, Sean. Great to have you here. And we're so excited to have Carlos Baldovinos, the Executive Director of the Mission at Kern County, with us today. Carlos, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for having me today.
Super excited to have you here. Could you take just a few moments and share with our guests a little bit about yourself and about the mission?
About myself, I grew up in Minneapolis. We've been in California now for about 11 years. It's great, you know, just being part of a community like Bakersfield, they call the Central Valley in California. It's one of those communities that has a Midwest feel, so I feel very much at home. The only thing different about it is I've never experienced 100 degree weather for so many days. So that's the only difference. But otherwise, it's a great community. I feel very much at home. I'm raising my family there. Awesome. Our ministry is doing great. You know, the mission, as you know, you may not know, maybe for our listeners this morning, that California has 25% of the homeless population in the United States.
Wow.
That equals to 134,000 people are homeless in our great state of California. So it's a crisis. I mean, from north to south, east to west in that state. So let's drill it down to Bakersfield, the Central Valley. That, I mean, when I even look at just Bakersfield in itself, we've had a 50% increase of homelessness from last year to this year. And that's from a recent point in time count that we just had. So it's big. I mean, it's significant. So that's very indicative of what's happening in the state of California. Hmm. So what we've done to address things, I mean, we're looking at expanding shelter. Okay. Our shelter capacity right now, it's at 96% every single night of capacity. And just a shelter side. We have programs. They're working with folks that are coming off of addictions. We have a retail operation, Encore Boutique, that's a job training program. Mm-hmm. Recently, about 13 months ago, we opened up a women and children's facility that's about a mile away from our campus. And we're looking to expand more services. I mean, I'm in the middle of doing something else with a donor in a community nearby called Oildale. That's actually going to be an extension of the current women and children's program to include transitional.
Okay.
So the need is great. I mean, there's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
I don't foresee it, you know, easing up in the next 5 years. I mean, I think there's going to be more of it. And when you look at the city side and the county really are trying to drill down on their efforts because, I mean, I'm seeing this, that the community wants them to answer. So, I mean, you look at, it's a great opportunity for the faith community, like, you know, like we're operating at the mission, to really be a leader in this whole situation regarding homelessness.
Yeah, and if I may interject real quick, it reminds me of that verse in Proverbs, Carlos, where it says, a wise man scales the city. It seems like it reminds me of that, what you're doing is scaling the problem so that you can then scale the solution, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, and it's going to take an effort. I mean, it looks like, too, that we want to be very intentional about what we get involved with, too.
Yeah.
We understand that, you know, you have a lot of things that are being said, and you may not be aware of it, but ending homelessness.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you hear, and that's a very... Yeah. It's almost a soundbite. People keep talking about it. It's a popular thing to say. I don't say ending homelessness. I mean, the scripture says you will have the poor among you. Mm-hmm. You know, so that doesn't show me that tells me anything that we're going to solve homelessness.
Right.
What we can do is reduce homelessness. We can help with that, and we can be in the forefront and the leaders in helping with those efforts.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the need that you're describing seems immense. And we all know that, especially in the kind of work that we do in rescue ministry, you don't meet that need without having a strong and broad base of generous philanthropic supporters. Talk to us a little bit about your role as an executive director. Where do you get involved in philanthropy for the organization? At what point do you step back and let others take over those kind of efforts? What's it look like in your shop?
You know, for me, I look at... the executive director, CEO, if you want to call it that.
Right.
They have to be in the forefront of talking to the donors.
Okay.
You just never know who you're going to run into. And in this day and time, when you have direct mail, you have, you know, social media information overload, that you always want to be aware of what's going on. That's why I was able to tell you these statistics, because I know I'm involved in those details. I mean, I have to be. I can't just I can't bury my head in the sand and expect, for example, that, you know, money's just going to come in, or direct mail is going to do its thing, or, you know, it's going to be automatic. You got to be intentional in getting involved in those things. And donors know that. I mean, they can tell if you don't, if you're just automatic.
Yeah.
They do. And I choose not to do that. I just, I really engage. I'm really involved. I mean, when we just finished our recent capital campaign, I mean, I was very engaged.
Okay.
Great. I mean, very, very involved. And I look at it, the health of the organization financially depends, it goes hand in hand with programs. I can't do programs. I can't do ministry if I don't have the resource to support that. I can't live on hope and a prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Open the strategy, is it?
Right.
So you said something about the organization's financial health. One of the things that Sean and I often run into is organizations that are financially healthy, that are raising the kind of money they need to operate their programs. Mm-hmm. Often there's a thread of culture through that, right? Where if you don't have a healthy culture, you can't internally, you can't be successful externally. Talk to us a little bit about the role you see culture playing from an internal perspective and its impact on your work in the community.
I do believe that you have to be open with the community, but it all starts with the employees. I'm very big, any project we've started, even in our staff meetings, I'm really intentional about getting our team, when I say the team, to the staff, and it all starts with my leadership team. We're on the same page. See, you have the same message, same words are coming out, the same sound bites are coming out from me on the Friday morning staff meeting to when I go and sit down with a donor for Saturday morning coffee. It all goes hand in hand. If I'm not saying the same thing and more staff members saying different things, or, you know, just what the heck's going on here, right? Even the amount of people we serve on a night. I mean, I'm very well aware how many people stayed in the shelter the night before. Because guess what? Donors ask me all the time.
For sure, yeah.
Especially what I just told you, some of these numbers, it's critical right now that I have to be in the know. And that's, to me, it's about messaging. It's about being on the same page. You can't have information overload on some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that really just really presents itself in what you're doing to serve the community more and more.
Okay.
Because they expect a lot from us right now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Now you're saying communication is a big part of how you're shaping culture there. Goes with that book Franklin Covey wrote, Growing at the Speed of Trust. And that's one of the core things he identifies as that communication piece, because that builds trust.
It does.
Absolutely. So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the campaign that you mentioned a second ago. Talk to us a little bit about what that campaign was designed to do, what the goal was, and give us a couple examples of you know, the kind of work that you had to do through that campaign and your team had to do in order to be successful.
You know, obviously we knew that there was a need for women and children to recover. We were seeing a lot of women come through our doors that had children, but they would not commit to a program because they did not want to leave their kids behind. I mean, they could be battling addiction. They were, you know, flat out hooked on drugs, a junkie. But they still had that motherly instinct that they did not want to leave their children. So they would forego a program. So guess what? The child would grow up in an environment of using drugs. I'm sorry, being around drugs.
Sure, yeah.
So normally you're around that stuff. You're probably more than likely, you're going to be around that stuff and use it eventually. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of what it is.
Sure.
And so I'm like, how can I help the next generation of kids going up? Not even, if I can sow a seed of Jesus or just some normalcy or some stability, wouldn't that be great? I mean, wouldn't that be great just to sow that seed? So we began to look at possibilities, what would look like. So that meant we had to start a capital campaign. So first of all, I started with our board, started with our leadership staff, then one with the staff. We took the steps and we didn't present it, obviously, to the whole community as a whole. Very, very key donors, right? We raised, I think it was 80% of the dollars that we needed. Then we did a public rollout.
Okay.
Basically what capital campaigns companies tell you to do.
Sure.
We followed it to almost to the T.
Okay.
Except there was a couple of variables in there that some high donors came to the table that I didn't know they were going to come to the table.
Okay.
And we were able to close it out. It was a $1.8 million capital project.
Okay.
And we were actually able to close it out in 6 months.
Wow.
So something that would have probably taken 18 months to do.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
18 months.
18 to 24.
Yeah, we actually closed it down in 6 months.
Wow.
But on our front end, we had to engage the donors. I mean, a lot of coffee meetings, a lot of gatherings, home gatherings.
Yeah.
A lot of one-on-ones, a lot of spaghetti and meatballs. Donors like spaghetti. This specific donor wants spaghetti and meatballs. I'm like, I went to the same restaurant so many times in 1 week. I was like, are you kidding me? Right? I haven't been to that restaurant since.
I bet.
So, you know, a lot of that stuff. And just really sharing the passion, the vision for what you're doing.
Okay.
And so we got to a spot. I mean, we're able to get these two large substantial gifts within actually probably month number five.
Wow. Okay.
And then it was easier once we got that to kind of go through the finish line.
Okay. So one of the things Sean shared with me that surprised me a little bit, you know, often when an organization is going to go into a campaign, we always recommend conduct a feasibility study, get an understanding of what the community believes and feels, and that can help shape your strategy. Now you chose not to do that and it worked out well.
It worked out fast because I see that's where it comes down to. You have to understand your community.
Yeah.
You have to understand the need. That's, remember we talked about communication, getting out to the community a moment ago, is that means you're really tuned in to what's going on around you, the need, right? So we chose not to do the feasibility study and it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And
did your board have any angst about that or were they comfortable with that decision?
No, they saw the need. I mean, it was there was enough prep work on the front end
okay.
that I didn't have to do the other things.
Gotcha. Okay.
But we rolled it out fine.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point too. You being tuned in to you know to the community to be able to you know you had good instincts on it. Like and I remember us talking about that. And I think also in proportion to your budget, I think you made a wise decision. So I'm glad it worked out.
Yes.
Yeah. Carlos, with the campaign, did you guys acquire, because it went so fast, were you able to acquire some new major donors to the organization or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely we did. So much that one of the high donors from this grouping that was part of this project, they actually are funding another project.
It's already
entirety. Already.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, awesome. The building's been bought. I mean, the construction will start probably later this summer, early fall.
Okay.
I got operational dollars committed up to 3 years from them.
Wow.
It is one of those, it doesn't happen. Yeah. I understand.
It's like the purple unicorn donor.
I get it. I get it. It doesn't. But you know what? They got involved with this project. They saw the success. And they're like, you know what? We want to keep going with this. And we have the financial capital to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We just know who's going to do it. They trust our abilities to operate it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that's where, yes, I was able to, we were able to land somebody that believed in it and wanted to be financially invested in ongoing ministry.
Yeah. Outstanding. And as far as like a number, was it just several large ones that came in or would you say like there was, do you have a handle on, like, hey, we picked up maybe 10% of the campaign was through new money or have you looked at that?
You know what? I mean, this family gave quite a bit.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I mean, they did. We ended up getting some new donors in the mix that had given money, but never substantial money.
Yeah.
To really, I mean, not downing a $5,000 gift, but never in the spot that it like, here's 80,000, here's 100,000.
Yeah, major investment like that.
That was major investment.
Gotcha.
But yeah. With that, when you give those kind of investment, when they give those kind of investments, those people usually want some sort of naming rights, which we had never done. That's a thing that when I look at the capital campaign model, we had to really lean on, you know, on that representative, that was assigned to us and walking us through how does that look like, gotcha. The naming yeah. of it. Because we had not, that we didn't have experience with it. Because different yeah. donors have different requests.
Yeah.
Depending yeah, on the size of the sure. gift.
Yeah, and how do you set the valuation? All
that's
that
right.
Kind of stuff. Yeah,
that's right. right.
So would you say you converted with because you got several large ones, that they all convert to supporting your operating budget?
You know what? Donors, a lot of times, what I've noticed with a capital campaign, you can get them into your flow. Usually they don't like to get into the whole direct mail flow.
I can imagine, yeah.
They're not into that.
Yeah.
They want a very specific for their ask.
Yeah.
You know, for the ask that we gave them, like, okay, how can I help them keep going with this investment?
Sure.
Right? How can I be part of it? So yeah. that's where we've had to really engage them more. Mm-hmm. You get them involved in, let's say, bring them to the gala. Mm-hmm. And then see an opportunity like that, it gives them, it's a mission update. Mm-hmm. It's a, yeah. Almost like a State of the Union type of address.
Sure.
And usually people, they love that stuff. Like, okay, great. They did right with my money.
Yeah.
Right. They're moving my investment forward. It's not just sitting there and lives are being changed. That's why they give it in the first place. Yeah. So
it kind of leads me to the next question, Carlos. Are there other things that you're doing in particular to leverage? It sounds like you got a lot of momentum from the campaign. Mm-hmm. Are there other ways that you're leveraging that? I mean, you've mentioned the relationship, and it's interesting with the capital campaign, I'm sure getting these gifts north of 25,000 and up, mm-hmm. you didn't mail them a direct mail piece to get them to give that. It was relationship.
Absolutely.
So it only makes sense if we want them to continue to give in that vein to the operating budget, it's got to be relationship. Are there any things that you've done to leverage the momentum relationship wise and maybe in some other ways?
You know, I'm very, we invited them in because we opened that facility was last May. So our gala was 3 months after, 3 or 4 months after that. So they got an update, right? I was very, very careful though, because there's a known syndrome out there. It's called donor fatigue. You know, you keep pumping them and pumping them. So I have in the last probably 6 months just retrieved a little bit, just mm-hmm. let them, but it doesn't mean I'm done.
Sure.
Because I'm planning on doing something as I get home is to do an external communication with them. Hey, this is where your dollars have gone mm-hmm. in the last year. This is how many lives have been changed. This is how many women have stayed with us. Thank you for your generosity. I wanted to give you an update. And if you want to consider giving more money to this, love to sit down and talk about it. But I want to be very careful because somebody told me that. It was, Carlos, you got to be careful when you come up off of something like this. You don't want to be pumping them for another project mm-hmm. because that actually can fatigue them because they get a lot of people asking them for sure. a lot of money, especially, yeah. That type of donor.
Yeah.
So I've been very intentional just leaving them be, except when we did our gala that we had in November, that they were there, involved, engaged. They heard it, felt good about it.
Yeah.
And then that year-end gift comes in, boom, we're good again.
Yeah.
But I've done in these last 6 months, I've kind of left them be a little bit, mm-hmm. but now I'm going to engage them again.
I got you. So you're prioritizing, it sounds like also the ask that you're doing.
I am.
It's not just, it's strategic.
That's right.
Right.
It's very strategic. And I think a lot of times, especially in our work, people just keep pumping the same people at the same time. And people just get worn out.
Yeah. There's so much noise. Yeah.
They do. And a lot of these donors get pieces of mail or they get communicated, they get phone calls or emails from people asking for money all the time. I mean, they tell me, yeah. Carlos, you're like the 10th one that sent me some sort of direct mail piece this month. And I choose you because I trust you and you're local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Carlos, my last question I have is what are your plans? Are you doing anything to are y'all making more investments in your development? Are you scaling up because you're seeing more growth opportunity? Tell us about that.
Yeah, obviously we are. I mean, actually, I was talking to my development director just this week while at convention about just something I wanted to do that I actually learned through the capital campaign model that you all taught us. And I want to do another house gathering because I really feel that some of these donors that got involved in the first project that were working on this other project in a city nearby that I just mentioned to you early in the podcast, that this donor is going to give all this money to fund it, but I would love to get their friends and hang out with them at the country club or on the yacht or wherever on vacations, that I can get them.
Yeah.
I can get them involved and engaged.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm planning on doing something like that.
Cool.
So kudos to you guys for teaching us something.
Hey, there we go. Earn or keep, you know?
Hey, I've got one last question for you. Give us a word of encouragement for that executive director who's sitting with their board saying, I think we need to launch a capital campaign, but we're not really sure how to do it yet. What would you, you know, what's that word of encouragement or one or two recommendations
you'd give? Yeah, you know what I tell them is seek the Lord. Make sure that the vision aligns with the need. Don't get involved into something, because when you go into capital campaign, you got to be all in. You can't be in or out. You got to be all in, especially as the executive director, and the board needs to back these efforts. And they need to be also in the front lines as well. Make sure that the Lord's calling you to do that, that it matches the need, but also don't be too scared. Don't have fear to jump in. If God's calling you to do it, just take a jump, take a leap. I mean, we were in that same spot that we didn't know, okay, we were operating at this capacity. We know that this is a need. How are these additional dollars, how are we going to raise them? Well, God knew the need. He knew that we knew we had to take a step of faith, and we took it, and we launched it and completed it. And you know what? It's been great. I mean, there's those moments that I had, but don't be fearful. Don't be fearful of the unknowns, because there's a lot of unknowns when you're in a capital campaign.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of unknowns.
That's so true.
And they only become, things just become visual, I guess, as you begin to take those steps, because God meets you as you're taking those steps.
Very cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
So if somebody that's listening wants to get in touch and learn more from you or just connect with you personally, what's the best way for them to do that?
You know what? They can go online, email me, cbaldovinos@themissionkc.org, or call me at the office. We'd love to chat about capital campaigns and what we learned and what we've seen our ministry grow its capacity. And that, then call me at 661-325-0863.
Awesome. Thank you so much for
being here. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Carlos.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, brought to you exclusively by Newport One. Newport One can make a difference in your fundraising so that you can change the world. You can always reach us at podcast@newportone.com. Please take a moment to rate this episode on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. When you rate this episode, it will help more nonprofit leaders just like you to help find us and get the information that they need to raise more funds for their organization. Thanks again for listening today.